Ladies, gentlemen, veterans, welcome to the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast for BlankPageBeatdown.com on this great Remembrance Day of November the 11th. I am Shah Shaheed, your commander in host for this show, and today we're going to be comparing an iconic and quite literally the best movie ever made to its Bollywood version, Sarkar. But first, let's do a quick recap of the latest Bollywood news this week. So, just a few days ago, the trailer for Shah Rukh Khan's new movie, Dilwale, debuted, confusing and exciting audiences all over the world. You can see my detailed trailer breakdown up on the site, blankpagebeatdown.com, right now. But the most interesting thing about the trailer release wasn't even the trailer itself. What was interesting is that Shah Rukh Khan himself, from his own Twitter account, tweeted out the link to his fans in individual tweets. Hundreds of them that all said the exact same thing. So it's pretty incredible that a star of this caliber takes the time out to sit for hours and copy-paste the same tweet to what looks like everyone that's ever tweeted him. Ever. Or it could have just been a team of people doing that or an automated program. But regardless, it shows that Shah Rukh Khan doesn't just use his Twitter to simply whore out a movie, but actually uses it for personal interaction with his fans. Oh no, wait, actually, it shows the complete opposite of that. Right, sorry, never mind. Moving on, the Ghayal Once Again trailer is out, which is the sequel to the huge hit Sunnydale movie from way back when. That's right. The one we've been waiting for all these years, the sequel to Ghayal. The trailer's out now, so go watch it. Walk, don't run. And it basically shows Sunnydale in a light that we've never seen him before. I mean, yes, he is punching, he's kicking ass, he's doing that face he does that looks like he's constipated. But I don't mean that. I'm talking about what he's doing behind the camera. Apparently, he's writing and directing this, which, if that doesn't get you excited for it, well, yeah, you can't really get excited for it. So, to cleanse your palate after watching the Ghayal sequel trailer, because you need that, there's another trailer that actually came out a couple of weeks ago. It's a smaller film. It's not really a Bollywood movie, but there is a Bollywood connection. The movie is called Madly. It's an anthology film by six international directors about six different stories from all over the world. And the movie essentially deals with the different incarnations and the different interpretations of love. And the Bollywood connection is that one of the directors involved is, you know, everybody's favorite Bollywood director, Anurag Kashyap. And the other names involved are kind of interesting. They might surprise you a little bit. So check out my article on that trailer for Madly, up on the site right now. Check that out after the show. So without any further ado, let's kick off this episode with a detailed split-screen analysis of The Godfather and its Bollywood remake, Sarkar, with my guest today, Sameer Dogra, from the Bollycast podcast. This is episode number 3 of the Split-Screen podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. Welcome to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shaheed, and amongst being one of the most impressive cases of restless leg syndrome that my pediatrician has ever seen, I'm also fortunate enough to be your host for today. With me today, I do have a guest. His name is Sameer Dogra. How's it going, Sameer?
Hey, pretty good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. So with Sameer, we're actually going to be discussing today one of the more iconic movies of Hollywood, as well as a Bollywood remake of the same movie. But before we get into that, I'd just like to share a story about Sameer. He's the co-host of Three for Bollycast, a Bollywood-themed podcast, which is the first Bollywood-related podcast that I listened to when I got into this whole podcasting thing. Fortunately enough, these guys put together such a shitty-ass show, And they did such a piss poor job of putting the whole thing together that I thought to myself that, hey, I can fucking do a show too like this. Probably a better one. But jokes aside, though, these guys are pretty good. They cover a lot of Bollywood-related news and events and everything else like that. And essentially, they inspired me to get into talking about movies, Bollywood movies and movies in general. So without any further ado, let me throw it to Samir to hear a bit more about him.
Hey, Shah, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, man, I can hear you fine now.
Awesome, man. All right. So, yeah, no, definitely, man. I think for me, the way the Bollycast started is pretty much the same story as you've just described for yourself. I've been listening to podcasts for 10 years. There were a lot of Hollywood movie review or preview or, news talk shows or podcasts. And I just thought, man, it'd be kind of cool to do that for Bollywood. And that's how I came up with the idea of the Bollycast. And, in the beginning, it was just we actually pretty fucking sucked at it, but that's how it is, right? You learn, you grow, and, you get feedback. And then I think over the time, we have definitely, gotten more, we're still pretty unprofessional, but we're gotten a little
professionally
more professional.
Unprofessional.
Yeah, professionally unprofessional, exactly. And so, yeah, man, just like yourself, it's inspiration was there, and the idea was there, and we jumped all over it. So it's been pretty good. You guys can check us out on www.bollycast.com and obviously look us on iTunes or anywhere, Bollycast. Yeah.
And you're on Twitter too, right, Samir?
I am on Twitter. You can follow me at Twitter handle at Curious Samir. Yeah, you got it.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, like I said, these guys are really good. And again, I want to thank you for doing such a horrible job in the beginning that you made me want to do my own show, which will start off pretty bad itself.
No, man. As long as I'm the inspiration, it doesn't really matter whether it was for a good reason or a bad reason. Look, man, that's what matters, all right? So you're welcome, basically. You're welcome.
Yeah. No worries. Thanks, man. So how do you feel about, remakes, about a movie being remade from something else in general, be it Hollywood or whatever?
Yeah, but my thoughts are, we kind of have talked about this on our podcast a little bit, but for me, if somebody is going to make a remake, there has to be a good reason for that. Because if the movie that is still, that's out there and is still pretty relevant and good, then the question is, why are we remaking it? If it's just to make money and, because obviously movies that are, been good in the past made a lot of money, people want to remake them to make more money off of them. So for me, anytime somebody says, I'm gonna remake something, my first question is this being done as a fan? Like, are you a fan of the movie? Do you want to make money right now? What's the intention? So, for example, I can think of movies that were made in the 30s, for example, and people have really hard time connecting with them, just the way, how things were done back in the days, maybe no sound or I don't know, whatever the case might be, or the way
technological improvements, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Visually, you can do a lot more, et cetera, et cetera. So I can see why you would want to, kind of make that again.
Can you think of a remake that you thought was justified, that you look back and go, yeah, they should have fucking made this?
Yeah, and the other thing is, so there's a other factor which I kind of forgot to mention is basically just like the movies we're about to talk today, being Sarkar being one of them, is an adaptation. So they're not exactly like a remake, but the idea is that you're adapting it to the audience that you want to make it for. So, if somebody in India, if you were to try, play Godfather in India, people are like, what the fuck is this? This is stupid. This is horrible.
Right.
You make Sarkar, and all of a sudden, it becomes one of the biggest hits.
It becomes more relatable because of the setting and the language and all that, I guess, right?
Exactly. Like, you make the characters, you put them in the real world that people can connect to. You're making them more relatable, and I think that's fine. That I completely get that. I think we talked about, at some point, that Scarface was a remake off another, from the 30s film.
32, I believe.
There you go. And, to me, yeah, that makes sense. Like, what are the chances that I'm going to be able to convince somebody to watch a 1932 movie? And, and so to bring that amazing story and to be able to, present it to the new audience, to the new generation, again, if there's a good reason for it, I'm all for it. Godspeed, go for it.
Today on Split Screen, we're going to be discussing The Godfather by Francis Ford Coppola, one of the most iconic films for Hollywood or even internationally. And little do people know, there is a Bollywood remake of this movie by another legendary director for Bollywood, maybe not so much these days, but Sarkar by Ram Gopal Varma.
Maybe not so much.
Well, it's true. Fuck, I'm not holding back. If you haven't seen either of these movies, which doesn't make sense to me because one's 30 years old and one's 10 years old, so fucking go watch the movies. And if you've seen anyone and you want to know more about the other, keep listening, but there will be lots of spoilers from here on in. So getting into it right away, The Godfather, if you don't know, something's wrong with you. The Godfather is an iconic movie. If you haven't seen it, you've heard about it, you've heard it referenced in other movies, you've heard it mentioned somewhere or the other.
You've seen one version or another of that movie, trust me.
You've seen it on The Simpsons, you've seen it on Friends, they've spoofed it. There's concepts from that movie that you will have seen in any sort of pop culture scenario. And it's Marlon Brando, The Godfather, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. And the entire story is essentially about the transition of a criminal empire, a legitimate criminal empire from the Sicilian mob family, and the transitioning of the leadership from father to son, reluctantly. It's not a rite of passage, but the story focuses on Marlon Brando's character, who is the Godfather. He's seen as a notable member of society, even though essentially his main business is running a criminal empire. And due to a situation where territorial disputes came up, other crime lords wanted to take over, there was an assassination attempt trying to force him out of power, which led to his youngest son, who he's kept out of the family, played by at the time an unknown Al Pacino, who is now a legend in his own right. Mm-hmm. And those circumstances of the initial part of that movie essentially caused this younger son, who the entire family kept out of the criminal business. They gave him a legitimate career. He was, I think, a veteran in a war. But he had to essentially step up to take over the family. And, the movie ends with essentially him becoming, getting the title of the Godfather and essentially becoming the leader of this criminal empire. And the journey from, father, son, and all the themes and the morality tales and the emotional arcs of all these characters, and the way that it was all done by Francis Ford Coppola essentially made The Godfather one of the best movies. I think literally it's the best movie in history. And it also legitimized gangster movies. It was one of the first instances where, now we see them all the time, but this was one of the first instances where the gangster movie became a legitimate subgenre for films, where it became, hearing about them and the whole Italian stereotypes of food and the movie is full of one-line dialogues that, have permeated pop culture today. Correct. Which, if you haven't seen the movie, doesn't make sense to you. Watch the movie and you'll go, oh, I get it. Like, all of these things will click into place if you're a TV fanatic. But Bollywood remade it with Ram Gopal Varma. He did it with Sarkar. Samir, you saw both movies. How do you feel about The Godfather, first of all?
Oh man, I can do a one day podcast on that, by the way. Just
a one man show.
I love that movie to the point. It definitely is. I mean, it's surprising how many directors, when they're asked what's their favorite film, will quote Godfather as the most brilliantly made and most technically best movie they ever, they always name Godfather, and I couldn't agree more with them, man. I mean, these are the guys who do this for a living, and if they're saying it, that this movie is for them, at the pedestal and at the top of this pyramid, there is very good reason for that. And it's brilliantly directed by Francis Ford Coppola, who was really pretty much unknown at the point when he got into this.
And he had to fight the studios a lot to make the movie.
There's just so much behind this movie, that we can spend all day literally talking about it, but the movie is a story which is based on the Mario Puzo's Italian, I think he's a American Italian writer.
That's right.
Off the same name. I think it's Godfather. It's called Godfather as well. and the interesting thing is, though, he was the co-screenplay writer, and along with Francis Ford Coppola himself.
That's right.
So not only did he directed it, he co-wrote the film. Which is pretty amazing for what it has done. And I think for thank goodness, because a lot of times the writers who write for novels don't necessarily translate well into writing for a screenplay, which is a different beast altogether.
Well, and I mean nowadays you've got, you know, within the age of, again, remakes, the writer does get that credit. But back in the day, I mean, back in 1972, this wasn't a common practice for Hollywood where the writer would be involved in a remake. It was just like, you wrote the book, fucking we like it. Yeah, can we, yeah, cool, all right, fuck off.
That's it, exactly. And that's so true. So for him to kind of, you know, and this movie was revolutionary in so many ways. Like, it did things for the first time. And I think you're right. I mean, the fact that he, you know, spent so much time with the writer, trying to, you know, pick his brain to understand the characters so well, so that when he translates them on the screen, it's fucking amazing. It's just each character and every scene in that movie is so brilliantly written. It's just, I can't even, like, it's beyond words, man. It's beyond words.
What did you think about, so you saw Sarkar as well, of course.
Absolutely.
What did you think about Sarkar as a movie on its own?
Or even as
a remake to this movie?
As a movie in itself, it gets like 9 out of 10 in both. Like, it's as good as remakes get, honestly, as it's as good as any gangster movies get in general. As good as any crime politics slash any of those genre films. I mean, it's one of the best movies that's been ever made of that sort in India so far. In my opinion, I think it holds up to that. Sorry,
I share your opinion wholeheartedly. Yeah. I'm completely in agreement with that.
And you know, it's Ram Gopal Varma, honestly at its best. When he's, you can see every scene and every dialogue. Again, he's there, and every part of that movie is stamped by Ram Gopal Varma, and that's what he's good at when he makes movies in his way. Just like he did Satya, he did Company. Those are the movies you just feel like, oh my God, like this is passion and vision in every scene and every dialogue, and that's I think same thing was for that movie, the original movie, Godfather. This is where the directors were like, you know, fuck you guys, fuck the studios, fuck everybody, I'm gonna make my film. You know, right. This is my film, and I think that's kind of, again, we're getting there again back now with Kashyap and all the rest. We're taking it to the next level now, off that, you know, sort of evolution, you know, so to speak. Because let's not forget, Anurag Kashyap was the screenplay writer for Satya.
That's right.
So.
Yeah.
So Ramu was kind of, he got on that bandwagon early on. He has his, but interestingly enough, he was able to, you know, keep himself commercial, which is a both of these movies were super hits. They made a lot of money.
Right, exactly.
Surprisingly, you know, you would think movies of this nature would probably, you know, go unnoticed or will be a blockbuster, you know, or like a disaster at the box office. But lo and behold, it shows that when you make a movie with a good story, good characters, and with love and passion, and it moves people and connects with people, you can make good movies. And Baloch, yes, I'm talking to you right now. These movies will do good business and make you good money as a fucking producer and anybody involved in that project. So
a little bit of internal Bollycast rivalry there, yeah, referring to the other co-host.
Yeah, that's right. Because we always in debate how, you know, it's the movies, are they business, are they art, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think they can be both. And this is a perfect example of that. In fact, both of these movies did really, really well, which is why they obviously went on to make an order.
Yeah, commercially and critically both. We discussed earlier about how, you know, when you remake, you know, when people remake something, they usually, it's best to, you know, reset it in a tone and in a, you know, in a setting that is going to be relatable to the new audience. And in India, I mean, again, in Hollywood at the time, these internal, you know, mob families was kind of an inside story. Like, you didn't see a lot of movies about that. So Godfather worked at giving something new in that respect. Whereas Sarkar, set in India, again, corruption, you know, the downtrodden little people, you know, and the corrupt government officials and police brutality. Right. These are things even today are prevalent. I mean, Sarkar was made 10 years ago. These are things even prevalent today. So in that light, essentially, the political situation that you bring up, a lot of politics is involved with Godfather. With Sarkar, I mean. And Ram Gopal Varma, again, he does a lot of movies along the same themes. Like, this wasn't new territory for him, right? He does a lot of these, you know, gangster, corrupt politicians and the real world situation movies, which is essentially why Sarkar had all these elements. And just to kind of clarify for people as well, in terms of the reason why these remakes were fake, I mean, we talk about, on this show, we've talked about before how Bollywood would rip off Hollywood movies. This is probably the one instance that I've seen that Sarkar is an unofficial remake of Godfather. No one with the Godfather is involved in Sarkar. However, okay. like you mentioned, Samir, that, you know, directors from all over have, you know, commented on Godfather being their number one film ever. And similarly, that transcends borders from Hollywood into Bollywood. Mm-hmm. And Ram Gopal Varma, in the beginning of the film, there's an amazing message. And this was, I thought, the most impressive thing.
I loved it.
Where he fully, you know, gives credit to Francis Ford Coppola. And he essentially presents Sarkar as his tribute to the Godfather, which I thought was, you know, risking liable, risking being sued. He essentially acknowledges the fact that, yeah, this is my tribute to the Godfather. This is my homage to the greatest director in the world and his greatest movie. So, which I thought was fucking amazing, to take the balls to fucking acknowledge that, you know, whereas other movies that we've discussed on this show already haven't acknowledged that. They just completely rip off a movie and go, here it is, bitches. And, you know, with varying...
Like it's their fucking idea.
Exactly. So, but I get what you're saying. One of the differences, yes, so in terms of the setting, I guess because of that reason, because it is a set in India, and, you know, in India you can't show gangster movies without juxtaposing them with corrupt cops and politicians and the political landscape of the world that, you know, it was at the time, or it still is today, right?
Right. And that is the strength of your 100%. I agree with you that is the strength of these both of these movies, is that why is it that they're so you kind of basically nailed it. Like, why are they so watchable today? Like, I can watch that movie 10 times every year, and I still find elements of it, you know, that I'm discovering as I go. They're so multi-layered, every character, every storyline. And even though they were set in that particular time, they're very universal. They're still valid. They're still relevant, completely 110%. You know, like you mentioned, the Ram Gopal Sarkar is still, that's exactly the landscape in India right now, the political landscape, the mafia landscape. It's a perfect analysis of it, and so did the original Godfather, obviously, of the Italian mafia and then the American politics at the time and the corruption there and their cop system, because there were cops there too who was, you know, involved in and et cetera, et cetera. So. And that's the beauty of these movies, is that as even though they're so particular and set in their time, like where they are and location and everything, but because of that, they're universal. Like, everybody can relate to them. And I've said this so many times before too, that the more a particular or a specific a movie is, I find the more relatable it is to everybody, because the funny thing is that those are the things that people connect to, you know, that the more specific they are, more universal they are. It's a contradictory, so it sounds contradictory, but it really is not. You know, when you're trying to make a generic film for everybody, it doesn't connect with anybody.
What did you feel about the differences in the actual, like, the story of both films, of Godfather and Sarkar, like the progression of events? I mean, because there are certain things that are completely different from movie to movie, but I mean, the biggest thing that I can think of is the situation with the sons, with the, you know, essentially, again, in Godfather, what makes Al Pacino take over, and in Sarkar, what makes Abhishek Bachchan take over as the leader. What do you think about those differences in the actual stories between the two films?
So Michael's character is very similar to the Abhishek's character. It's Shankar, right? Shankar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shankar.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. I think their sort of trajectory storyline is very similar. They both walk into it kind of like naively, not sure what's happening to their career or life at the point. You know, they have love interests,
right?
You know, a lot of similarities there. Where it differs, I find more so is with the brothers. First off, there were two extra brothers in the original Godfather. Yeah. There was the I think it's Michael and then Sonny. Sonny is the hot-headed one.
Sonny was James Caan. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's a man whore. He sleeps around. Yeah, fucking, you know,
cheating,
he's
little bastard.
The impulsive one, and then you have the other one who's just kind of stupid and can't think of the name right now. Just didn't really give a shit much and had pretty much no leadership skills or anything of that sort.
As the younger brother, the guy that they sent away to Vegas or whatever. To the casino,
right.
That's right.
To the casino, and you know, he clearly had zero leadership skills.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of
he was the fuck up, let's be honest. He was the fuck up
and, you know, he pays for it later on. and So right away, like, we know there's only one brother, is KK Man, and fucking amazing,
in,
beautiful.
In Sarkar, yeah.
Holy shit, man. This
oh,
guy
my God,
off.
Yeah.
And I feel like they kind of combine the two characters, the other two brothers, kind of like into him. Like, he's the impulsive one.
He's the fuck up and the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. They kind of combined him together, and then therefore his storyline then becomes completely different from the original Godfather, in the sense, you know, then he gets kicked out and he gets picked up, and, you know, it's like, yeah, both stories put together, their occupations are different. I mean, this, you know, he's like a producer. I'm not even sure if it's a producer.
In Sarkar, yeah, Sarkar KK Man produces, well, not a producer, again, like in Bollywood there's a lot of, you know, criminal influence to the behind the scenes workings.
Unofficial producer.
Yeah, that's right. So essentially he worked, I mean, again, and this is, again, if you watch Ram Gopal Verma movies, you know this, like, this happens, yeah. Apparently, again, we don't know, we're not in the industry yet, but apparently there's a hidden influence to the criminal underbelly, which, I mean, even in The Godfather, you see a bit of, you see Marlon Brando's character, you see Don Vito influencing the career, I guess, of his godson,
Fontaine.
Right?
Yeah, the Fontaine. Or
the singer who wants to be an actor. Yeah, so he, yeah. Behind the scenes. So it's similarly, Sarkar, I mean, kind of shows that as well, about how, you know, the underworld does have influence in the movie industry. So that's what KK plays. I'm not sure if you realize, though, there's also, I mean, since you brought up, I didn't see that, you know, KK's character in Sarkar could have been a combination of the two brothers from The Godfather. But he's also, KK also is a combination of the brother-in-law in The Godfather,
right.
Michael's sister's husband, you know, the guy who essentially at the end of the movie you find out that he was the guy who betrayed or had a hand in betraying their dad, you know, Marlon Brando's Don Vito, which is why he gets, again, spoilers, fucking enough spoilers, if you haven't watched now, I'm giving away the ending, but he essentially finds out that, you know, his sister's husband had a hand in, you know, the assassination attempt of their father, and Michael, as the new head of the family, ends up, you know, having him eliminated, which is the nature of their business. And KK follows the, you know, KK's character in Sarkar, he plays the real-life brother, he plays the son of Sarkar, and once he gets kicked out of the family, he gets jaded and bitter, plots against Sarkar, and when Abhishek Shankar finds out, you know, Abhishek's first act in taking the leadership from his dad is, you know, killing his own brother. And it all happens off screen. Godfather, we see it happen. You know, we see the death scene, you know, in the car where he gets strangled. But in Sarkar, the death happens off screen. It happens off camera. The only time we know about it is when Shankar comes into the family in the middle of the night, announces to everyone that
I've killed.
And he says, my brother. He doesn't even, you know, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't say his name. He doesn't say your son. He says, I've killed Bhaiya. Which is, and that's a fucking, like, that to me is the biggest difference in the movies, because
that's huge,
in The Godfather, Michael, Al Pacino's Michael, doesn't fully take over until the very last scene where he lies to his wife, where, you know, she asks him something, I forget what it was, and he cold-faced, stone-cold, looks at her right in the eye, and he lies to her. I think about not being involved in the death of the brother-in-law. That I think she asked, did you kill your sister's husband or something like that? And he fully just looks at her and says, no. And, you know, and the camera pans out, the doors close, and you see him as the new, just like the movie opens with Godfather sitting at that desk, the movie ends on the same note, and that's when it's like, fuck, he's now the Godfather.
So in other words, like, so he's actually more, in the Sarkar movie, he sort of gets into this role a lot more quicker and faster and more, way more aggressive, I guess, in a way, maybe.
Well, I find, there's a difference, right? I find, like, even though in Sarkar, Abhishek, you know, Shankar's character gets into it quicker, I feel like throughout the course of the second half, like, Shankar earns his title as the Godfather. Whereas, because in The Godfather, you know, after the first assassination attempt, you know, Don Vito gives Michael, you know, the reins. He says, you are now Godfather, and he's there to transition him into it. But you see that Michael doesn't really get a lot of respect because his dad's still around. People are still talking to him, and his dad has to constantly tell people that, hey, I'm not the Godfather anymore, you know, you gotta talk to Michael about it, right? So he just kind of is in the position, but it's not until at the end where he actually earns it.
What about one of the, I think, biggest strengths of these, both of these movies is the casting. Like, I can't think of anybody else better to play any of those characters. It, like, every character was perfectly cast in both of these movies. Like Amitabh Bachchan as the as the senior, and junior Amitabh Bachchan playing the Shankar. Like, can you, like, it's fucking, they were like, it's like this movie, they were born to do these roles.
And I mean, it's also, at the time, I mean, I think Sarkar was the first movie that they shot for the first time ever as father son, in the same frame together, which you can see. I mean, in the movie, there's no, usually when you have family do movie together, you know, they play family, there's this kind of, you know, they make the point obvious, you know, that these guys are related and now watch them have fun on screen, right? Whereas in Sarkar, a lot of the scenes, they're not even together, really. I mean, correct. You know, their father, son, they don't share a lot of lines together. There's like this, but at the same time, there's like this unspoken, you know, bond between them. Whereas, you know, the dad says something and Shankar just kind of, you know, intuits what he means, and he's obedient and he's happy and he just kind of goes, okay, yeah, you know, correct. And he's the obedient son. And that doesn't come into play, you know, that comes into play a lot better at the end, where, again, he's going to all these extreme lengths to save his dad's life, to get revenge on him, and you know, essentially avenging the dad when he was kept away from this business his whole life. Which I thought, again, just like the same thing with Michael, there's a certain level of badassery when the guy who's not a fucking criminal genius comes into the life and goes, fuck yeah, bitches, I'm the shit now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain level of coolness to that.
Yeah, I mean, true. I mean, just to kind of add there is the, I always thought the fact that Michael was, you know, in the army, he was in the military. Am I not right?
Yes, that's right. He was a veteran. I don't know what war, but I'm assuming maybe Vietnam at the time. It was 1970s. Yeah, so.
And to me, that's really, really fascinating because, you know, here is a guy, you know, because when you think of the army, what do you think of? You think of hierarchy. You think of power. You think of authority. You think of defense. And it is so interesting that he kind of looks for those exact same things within this new, within the family, within this new criminal business. He establishes defense, order, security, just as he would have done as a military general, for example, that's had he true. Gone the other way.
So, wrapping it up now, Samir, what, I know you said that the movie gets a 9 out of 10, Sarkar, for you. What would you say if you had to, I mean, on its own, I think we've clearly established that both you and I love the movie, both movies. If you had to, would you recommend Sarkar to someone that's not into Bollywood movies and someone that hasn't seen The Godfather? As an original movie standing on its own, would you recommend Sarkar to people?
I would, 100%. I mean, this movie is, yeah, it is a stand. I mean, it is inspired, as we kind of we've said. It's only inspired. It's not a remake of the original Godfather. It's adapted, and it's like, again, it's like watching the Shakespeare drama and then going to watch Omkar. You know, completely two different. You know, the essence is the same. The themes are the same. You know, the struggles are the same, but put into a very different, you know, package altogether and a very refreshing way.
So, Samir, where can everyone get a hold of you and your site?
You guys can reach us on www.bollycast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Curious Samir. And if you want to follow Bollycast, we have a lot of news now we're posting. Keep you guys posted on a lot of new stuff that's coming out on Facebook, Bollycast, and obviously Twitter handle Bollycast. And you can write us on bollycastmovies@gmail.com.
All right, so that is it for this week. Me and Samir could have gone on for hours talking about these two movies. Obviously, we love them. I hope he'll be back to do the sequel as well. So if you want to be updated on those new episodes and the latest episodes coming out, subscribe to this podcast, which is now on iTunes or on your preferred podcasting app, or visit the website directly at blankpagebeatdown.com to listen right on your browser or download it for later use. Subscribe to the site with your email on the top corner. Follow the podcast at Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me on Twitter directly at The Shah Shahid. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. Again, I fucked it up again. And email me your comments, suggestions, and anything else you want to share at my personal email address, shah@blankpagebeatdown.com. So have yourself a happy Diwali, guys. Try not to blow off a finger or anything else when you're lighting up those fireworks. Stand back a little bit from a safe distance because, you know, I need your ears in working condition for this show to be a success. And if you guys can, please, please light an extra one for me, like a big one.